listening to Ralph Pucci, the podcast. This season focuses on power couples in the arts, and Ralph and I were thrilled to invite our longtime friends and collaborators, Teresa Roviras and Spencer Fung, on for this week's conversation. Spencer and Teresa are a husband and wife duo based in London and living truly creative lives. Spencer is an architect, designer, and painter, and Teresa is a creative consultant. She also has a wonderful online store catering to children and families called The Hedgehog Shop. In this conversation, we learn about how they met, nature's huge impact on them, and how life has been during the pandemic. We hope you enjoy it.
Well, guys, I'm so excited that you're part of this podcast. You know, I have so much respect for both of you. We go back a long way, about 25 years. We met in London, and I'm really excited that my audience hears your story because I think you're two brilliant people. So we can get started.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And I would like to say it's been such a privilege to work with Ralph, and you have such incredible vision, so ahead of the time. So we enjoy our work together. So
it's a pleasure.
Yes, great.
Fabulous. So to get us started, tell us a bit about how you two got into the industry. How did you know you wanted to do the jobs that you're currently doing? Maybe tell us a little bit about your childhoods first to paint the full picture.
Okay. Sure, yes. Well, I grew up in Hong Kong, and I live in urban Hong Kong, concrete boxes, but there's still good chances of connecting with nature. And I remember very well, we live on the waterside, and I love going to the water edge and seeing the giant granite boulders, chasing, observing the dragonflies. And I always carry some sort of paper and pen with me. And so sketching is what I love so much. And architecture seems to be just a natural, had a natural appeal to me. Yes.
Through drawing, yeah.
Yeah.
Spencer's always recorded everything he sees, so it's kind of a natural way for him to communicate, I think.
So Spencer, you started drawing as a child, and to this day you continue to carry your pen and paper around with you?
Oh, very much so. Yes, yes. I think being able to draw, to me, is a luxury in life. Observing and translating, telling, and in my recent life, this enabled me to express my inner self, which you know, as a nation, is. You're not trained to, you're not educated to. So I found that a really great release, and so I'm enjoying all this creative process tremendously.
Fantastic. And so when you were a teenager, you decided you wanted to become an architect, correct? And you went to Cambridge for architecture school?
Yes, I did. And that was that I enjoyed time in Cambridge very, very much. Gave me a very strong footing. I enjoyed the historical, theoretical side of architecture a lot. And then I went to Indonesia to work during the training, which is as a young apprentice. And there I discovered wood, timber, you know, and there, and also being able to work with craftsmen. They have incredible skills doing handcrafted work. So all these things, and also the architecture is a direct response to the climate, to humanity. So I think these are really strong elements and influences to my work. And then I, when I graduated at the Architectural Association, I worked for a minimalist architect, Chipperfield. And then now, yes, it has evolved along the way, very much in love with nature and doing things inspired by nature.
Mm-hmm. And Teresa, so did you too know you wanted to be in the art, design, creative field from a young age?
Yeah, when I was young, I wanted to be an architect, actually, because my father was had a construction company, and I sometimes went with him to sites with a hat, helmet, and looking at the plans. So I kind of loved the environment and the idea that, you know, from paper to seeing a physical building. So I always thought architecture. But then when it came to it, I realized in Spain is a very technical career. It's got some degree of engineering in it, physics, calculations. And I thought, wow, that's really not for me. I mean, I'm into space and feeling between, you know, buildings and the environment you live in. But the technical side of it, the hugely long university degree.
But almost very engineering.
It's very engineering. You're almost like a technical architect as well as a creative architect.
Right.
But then I thought, what do I do? Because I knew it was something creative. But back in the 80s, design wasn't really something quite that well known as a profession in at least in Spain, because that was obviously 20 years after Franco, so it's a country that's still in the making. And so I knew it was all creative, and I used to design my own record copy, you know, cassette covers at home, and I loved doing patterns for fabrics, and my parents were very creative themselves, so I loved interiors. They had lots of magazines from around the world at a time when it wasn't really typical to have that. So that was my internet kind of those days, you know, scouring magazines from around the world. So I suppose the photography, the interiors, it was like the whole design world interests me, but I just didn't know it had a name. So it was my art teacher at school that recommended you should do graphics. And I thought, that sounds right. So when I investigated, you know, after that, I have to say, after I studied, it became a boom of design. So everything was designer. So you couldn't open a TV or newspaper without hearing the word design in it. So we went from complete ignorance to suddenly everybody wanted something to do with design. So that's how I found myself in there.
Interesting. And tell us about how the two of you met.
It's funny. It's like a destiny, because I moved from Barcelona to London in 87, and I had been here for a year, and then I decided when I go back, I'll have a reunion with my friends, I'll have a Christmas party, and I'll bring my new English friends, and my other friends can bring their own new group of friends, because one of them moved to Paris, so she could bring her French friends, and the other friend who stayed in Barcelona could bring her new set of friends. And Spence happened to be in that group of Barcelona.
Yeah, I was a young architect.
Visiting a friend, yeah.
Yeah, practicing in London. Barcelona is a beautiful city to me. I've done projects in at school before. I've been there. Always love the architecture. So refreshing. But not only that, as a city, it's so inviting. I love the way of life. Mm. So I was there over the Christmas.
So,
and we
met. Coincidence, yeah. He turned up in my home.
Yeah.
Back in my family home.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the house party, yeah. Wasn't it? Yes.
So, yeah, but we didn't really see each other much because there was lots of people. And then 2 weeks later, I think we bumped into each other at the Royal Academy in Museum Gallery in London.
Yeah, and the Chirico
exhibition. And yes. I thought, I've seen this guy before, and he recognized me, so we started talking.
But the interesting thing is we were actually working in central London, quite near Bloomsbury, isn't it? Yes,
Fitzroy.
Yeah. And then we were streets away.
Yeah,
and
5 minutes from each other.
So. We would be using the same sandwich bars. So that's kind of quite interesting. Yeah.
Small world. That's amazing. Yeah. And so you two mentioned that you both love Barcelona, obviously an incredible city. Where else do you love to travel to? Where else inspires you?
Recently, with children, yes, we love all the city trips, of course, in Europe, so mm-hmm. easy. But I think our heart goes to the wild, the raw nature mm-hmm. around us. Yes, mm-hmm. And Catalonia is, we discover so many beautiful places all the time. So, and I think we, as a family, we like that too. Mm-hmm. Familiar places, but just going deeper.
Discovering new places.
Yes, whether it's high up in the mountain or further in, and then discovering lakes and rivers. And so we enjoy that kind of freedom. Mm-hmm. And that in Catalonia, it's one of the few places that you can still explore and discover. And we
I think it's because it's a small country within a country. So we have from high altitudes mountains to the Mediterranean to agricultural lands to vineyards. So it's quite a varied, within an hour you can be, I mean, I think somebody told me that they met a friend in a mountain skiing. And so by the afternoon they were swimming in the Mediterranean. So in the morning they were skiing in the mountains and in the afternoon they went. So in fact, we did incredible. That this summer. We didn't obviously have the snow, but we were swimming in a river in the morning. And then in the afternoon we swam in the Mediterranean. So that was quite, it's a micro country. It's got a bit of everything. But I think, yes, anywhere where we're going to explore nature and we want to travel more as well.
And Teresa's house is an old farmhouse mm-hmm. near the national park. So for us as a family, we love hiking up to the mountains, sometimes without trails or tracks, caves and all sort of type of things. And my love are trees and forests. So that's just mm-hmm. In a way, comfortable and easy for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're very lucky. Yeah.
Spencer, talking about trees and nature, why don't you touch a little bit about the show that we had in California? It was your first trip to California, right? You went there to be inspired. I had commissioned you to do that big giant mural. Mm-hmm. Why don't you touch upon that, what that experience was like?
Well, I love trees and also studying in Europe, especially in England, opened my eyes to the green countryside. First of all the rolling, beautiful countryside. And then when Ralph invited me to do this show in LA, I thought we were going to do something with Scots, with my Scottish kind of trips and everything. But then when I visited the Sequoia National Forest, National Park. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just blew me away. Mm-hmm. I was so in awe with this experience. And one thing that told me, I took a trip, and it's 4 hours away from LA, so I had to plan it really well. And then driving this and arriving kind of late evening, and skidding in this kind of in the road because it was frosty. Mm-hmm. I mean, and arriving in this giant land, it just taught me how strong and how powerful nature is. Mm-hmm. And I had total respect. And then in that quiet, snowy landscape, I discovered these fluorescent green lichen, which is binding the whole ecosystem together. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things just is so telling, so inspiring for me, and hence the exhibition is very much about sharing, telling the extraordinary beauty mm-hmm. of this natural world, this ancient world. Is the trees are 4,000 years old, and then but they are in endangered, and so it's very much about telling the emergency that we need to act mm-hmm. To save, to restore, and then hopefully getting a good natural balance about it. Yes, mm-hmm. And Rob was very, in a way, so the vision of asking me to do a big mm-hmm. mural. I mean, a couple of years ago, I only started changing from sketchbook, you know, pocket sketchbook to watercolors. But then since then, I I found a kind of my voice, the way, and then so doing the murals was extremely enjoyable. And it was, I remember, 7 meters by 3 meters high. It was daunting, but the subject is about painting the forest. One is the beautiful side, the other one is a fallen one. It's just telling the dual side. Yes, it was totally enjoyable. So, yes, thank you again, Ralph.
You're welcome. And that was the first time you ever did a mural, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. That one was, yes, yeah. It's very much. And I painted it with clay, and I painted it with mixing with ink, and I picked Jurassic clay because I found the beauty of the natural color and the texture of the clay. And it worked extremely well on the wall. So, and you know me, I'm obsessed with texture. And so the trip told me so much about the beauty of the barks of the trees, the foliage, everything. So all these came quite spontaneously onto the wall, you know. So yes, that was a great experience. Currently, I'm having an exhibition in Bath, the Roman city of Bath, just not far from London. Beautiful stone city with incredible Georgian architecture, which I love so much. And then this time is responding to the current pandemic, isn't it? Yes. It's about finding inner strength through looking at trees, the tree roots, and then imagining this subterranean world. That's something that I can't see. But in a way, the things that I cannot see is actually much more powerful to me. And then I was trying to find the grounding, being grounded, and like expressing the trees as they tell us. They are so resilient in storms. And then, so it's all about that kind of inner strength and resilience. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, it's also done in the autumn colors. Mm-hmm. You know, so the reds and the browns are so so colors. Telling. Yes, it's all coming from the natural palette. Yes.
What a beautiful thing to focus on, especially during this challenging time. And as someone that loves to hike, it's my favorite thing to do is to be out in nature and sort of just experience the peace and serenity and wisdom that comes from being around these amazing trees. I couldn't agree more. Tell us a bit about how you've coped through the pandemic. I know you have 2 children, and how has life changed since March of last year?
Well, the first thing came with staying home, right? We all have to get home. And at the beginning, I suppose my nesting instincts kick in and I'm like, never mind, we'll manage. And I'll cook and I'll bake and we'll do all these things that we always want to do and we never had time to do. And of course, the reality is different. But I think what we realized that working from home was actually fine for us because what we do, it doesn't really matter where you are. And the importance of being of home, I mean, home is important, but now we all realize that we have to depend on this space we have. And we were lucky that because the way we structured our house is a series of rooms rather than open space.
It's a Victorian house.
We respected the rooms.
Respected the original layout. So everyone during the pandemic then
we all managed
everyone
to have
had their own
spaces,
corner of space. So
I mean, the children were at school, so they all need to be on computers and silent, and we had to work. And so it's quite good that we have common areas, and then we could also hide away from each other if we had to. And having a garden, and no matter how small, our garden is it's quite small, but it was really appreciated having a bit of space and sitting outside under the tree and hearing the birds, which were incredibly loud, and no noise, no planes. It was quite special. So I think it kicked in a lot of thoughts about how we live and how we want to move forward and what do we want to leave behind now that we're kind of more or less in normality, but not quite. And it makes you question how you want to do things. And it makes you question whether it's worth commuting to work every day, even though we're not that far, but it's 20 minutes each way. If you drop off children, by the time you do that, you've spent 2 hours on the road. Whether that's nice, so, or you prefer to have a bit of time at home where you can work at different leisure, at different pace, and even have 5 minutes to stop and sit in the sun. And you're still in credit time-wise, because in a normal day you would be commuting. And that's a short commute. So people who have obviously live further afield, I think a lot of people are questioning what do we really need? And I think that's what made me wonder, what do we really want in the future? Because we're adaptable, but we really appreciated the fact that nature took over. We gave it a break, and suddenly it just thrives. And you think, wow, my impact really has a big effect on nature. So what can we do? Maybe we should travel a bit less. Maybe we should travel closer, or, you know, do things differently.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Spencer, have you been going into your studio, or have you been working from home?
Yeah, no, I enjoy working from home. I think working from home is a bliss to me. I like to be near the family. And then the nature of my work allow me to sketch things and then just communicate through Zoom and all that. And on the painting side, I love painting with the sunlight around me. So I move around, so I get to know my house more intimately, you know, all the corners, all the windows. I move around.
Chasing the light.
Yeah. Chasing the light, yes. And I sometimes painted under the tree. Luckily we have a beautiful ash tree at the back. And then the nature was so spectacular, mm-hmm. as you could see, as everyone could see. Mm-hmm. It was the blossoms, the foliage was so intense.
Quality, no? It was crisp.
Yes, and then I enjoy the dawn calls of the birds. Flocks of birds are visiting us. So, I mean, it's so telling that nature can come back in such a strong way. Mm-hmm. If we give them a little bit of space, I call it a helping hand. And so that gave me enormous kind of confidence or encouragement. Mm-hmm. That's in a way the situation accelerated. You know, our work is very much inspired by nature, and so it has given me very interesting insights. You know, mm-hmm. quite positive insights going forward.
And Spencer, with your work, architecture meets nature. In my opinion, that no one does it better than you. What are you, or is there anything interesting you're working on right now in around the world?
Yes, I was very lucky for about 10, 20 years engaging in architecture buildings in the country, just about 1.5 hours, 2 hours away from London. And that enabled me to not only work with some incredible craftspeople, learning from them the heritage skills of making things, doing things.
And the reason, stone, isn't it? The reason wood, why people have weave. Been doing.
Yes, mm-hmm. I mean, in, UK has got this long arts and crafts tradition, amazing handwork. And then, so I apply all that. I'm a person who always thinks outside the box, and I find things very... I like to push things to the boundary, and so being able to work with natural elements, natural materials, the wood, stone, or sometimes upcycling things, is very satisfying for me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm able to work with projects outside UK too, and working in West Australia on natural sites with very beautiful nature. So yes, it's evolving to me, and then to me, nature every minute is so unique in terms of forms, shapes, and texture and tones. So that. There's so much new ideas that I can develop with it. So, it's been a great journey, and I'm looking forward to keep going. Yes.
And Teresa, I know you have some of the same themes in your shop. So I was looking through everything that you carry, and I feel like much of it has to do with, you know, natural materials. Respecting different cultures and all that. Tell us a bit about your business.
Yes, a few years ago I decided to do something a bit different, and I wanted to do my own brand, so I opened this shop online for children's products. I say products because it's not just a toy shop. I saw it more like a lifestyle where for families, so a place to go if you had children at home. So you cover your everyday needs, your play needs, your party needs. So it's all very edited. So things that I would have gone out of the way to look for myself when my children were younger, I tried to put them all under one umbrella. And yes, the common thread would be things that last, that are well made, hopefully with natural materials as much as possible, and from around the world. Because being a multicultural family, I wanted my children to hear a little bit of around the world. So it's not just my culture or your culture. It's, different races, different traditions. So I told them stories from around the world, music, folkloric music from around the world. So that's what motivated me to do, to find the products I did. Things that are timeless, that can be passed on, nicely made, and long-lasting, yeah.
They're beautiful. I love the recipe section. There were many things on your site that I would love to try to cook myself. I was very inspired when looking
at
beautiful, beautiful items. So one question we always like to ask our guests is, what advice would you give to someone trying to enter the creative field?
Walk your own path, because right now everything is... It's very competitive in this time of ours, and there's so much going on. And unlike our time, you know, it's much easier to find your own profession and roots, and be consistent, be committed is the right word, yes. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about falls. And you never know what's around the corner. So, I would say the important thing is put in the hours, put in a lot of focus and hard work and then it wouldn't be far. And so that's what I would say. Yes, and also be open. To me, nature has been a great kind of pointer and subjects full of inspiration. But everyone could find their own recipe, if you like. That will suit them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I agree with that, and I think. I suppose anything, I would say to people there, follow your gut, because sometimes you might not get there the traditional way. And nowadays everything is so interconnected, and it seems like there's always one way, you know, one channel to do things. But I think more and more we have to be adaptable and reinvent ourselves. So you might have different interests that have completely nothing to do with each other, but persevere with all of them, because maybe those interests, they have a way of actually coming around in a circle. So it doesn't matter what you're interested in and how you go about, but you might have a unique recipe, because you might be a nature lover and an architect, or you might be a music lover and something else, and it all makes sense in the end. And also not to get discouraged by negativity, or you know, what you think when things don't go your way, because often those bad experiences actually shape your future. So they were necessary for you to succeed. So it's all part of the path, because there's plenty of disappointment and expectation. People have expectations. If they're not met, then they feel disappointed. And I think don't ignore that, because they're part of the journey.
Makes and you also, stronger.
No, but also
it, yes,
sometimes, yeah, because of one bad experience, actually you end up in the right place. So it's all part of your path. Mm. And also I would say, don't wait for things to happen. Just you go out there and make what you want. Because if you have to wait around, things don't happen. And if there's no possibility, be active, because activity finds you being active, not being passive. So maybe you have to end up doing something completely different, but that is still in itself a positive. So I would go for everything and anything.
Yes.
Before we jump off, I know over the years London has had so much exciting retail and exciting galleries and just so much creativity. What's the temperature on London now during these strange times we're living in? Anything exciting happening?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know exact. I can't give you exact examples, but what I can see is that people are busy than ever. I mean, strangely, we have been working from home and shops are closed. And even now, when you go to town, the other day I was in Marylebone and every other shop is closed, either closed down or shut. So it's quite depressing, because you think, wow, I thought we were going back to normal, but nowhere near. But at the same time, you hear people talking and saying they've never been busier. So yeah. I think that's what I was saying before, you reinvent yourself. And that's why young people who start, it doesn't matter what you're doing and where you're doing it. It's just, you have to keep going. And there's always going to be something. And even very old people, I was listening to an interview, Jane Goodall, she was saying she's never been busier in her life. So I think, yes, I think there's a kindred effect, because we're all under the same circumstances. So it's a strange phenomenon, because we all find ourselves in the same position, obviously with different advantages. But that's kind of exciting, because there's many things you can put your energy into, which are not the traditional. So I think, in a way, it's interesting what's happening.
Yeah, and closed situations allow us to look at things deeper, and then finding something more of
meaningful,
an essence,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah, so it means that effectively there are, the outcome, creative ideas or anything across the board, stronger and more meaningful
more
things
meaningful.
Are coming through. And then I myself are so interested in locality. You might have heard about these walking museum, and London, it's just incredible, because there's so many history and nature around the city. So I think everyone is doing that too, and really enjoying finding out more about things around us. And
but also about
it's a good, very, very good energy going on.
There's a lot of energy
on,
about helping other communities. So working as a team rather than, I think what I can see is that people are working more in tandem with other people, or to help other people, or to make sure that people who don't have a voice get a voice. So there's very interesting collaborations between brands, and very interesting mixtures, I think. I think that's very interesting, yeah.
People are making the best out of a challenging situation, and beautiful to see that.
Yeah.
So thank you both so much for your time. It was a pleasure speaking to you, learning more about what inspires you and really the impact of nature on your lives. I think that's a really wonderful thing for our audience to hear. And, you know, we're just very thankful for your time and for your energy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Guys, I said to you earlier, you, the respect that I have for the two of you, what you've accomplished, your vision, your clear vision of what you're trying to accomplish, and the way you live your lives is really an inspiration to me. I'm very proud to know you guys. I'm very proud to work with you, Spencer.
Vice versa.
Forward to our relationship continuing as time goes on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A pleasure. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for listening to our conversation with Spencer and Teresa. To learn more about them, you can visit their websites, spencerfeng.co.uk and teresaroviras.co.uk. Tune in soon for our next conversation featuring the incredible Pilar Prophet and Rob Bristow. Thanks and have a great day.